Testing. One, two. Oh, there we go. Thank you, Charlie. Here we go. Welcome to this time of worship. It is my joy to welcome all of you who are here in the sanctuary and those who are worshiping online, and to know and trust that the Spirit of Christ connects us as we worship together this morning. If you are here in the sanctuary, I invite you to take a moment to register your attendance on the registration pads. They should be at the center aisle and making their way down the row. If you're worshiping online, there should be a link you can place in the browser to register that way. If you are visiting with us and would like to know a little bit more about our congregation and how we're trying to live out God's love in the world, I would invite you to share an email address, a mailing address, or even a phone number and allow us to reach out to you and begin that conversation together. We had our first of four new member classes this Sunday, and if you have been visiting and thinking about becoming a member of the church, it's not too late. You can come next week. They're meeting at 9:45 right below where we are in McWhorter Hall, and you are welcome to come. If you are a graduate student or a college student, we want to invite you to lunch after this service for chat and chew. The group will gather in the back, what's called the narthex back there, and walk somewhere local for lunch, and the church will buy your lunch today. A couple of other announcements as we gather. Tonight, we will be getting together downstairs in McWhorter Hall from 5 to 7 to talk about the Gospels and the Book of Acts. There are many folks who are reading through the Bible together this year, but even if you're not doing that, you're welcome to come and join us. It is a potluck dinner, and we've already ordered the meat for the dinner. So if you haven't had a chance to register, just come on anyway, and you can either come at 5:30 for the study or come at 5 and we'll feed you and figure it out. So we're looking forward to that time together. Next Sunday, during the Sunday School Hour at 9:45, we'll have our annual town hall meeting. It's an opportunity to hear some updates about the ministries of the church and how things are going. And then that afternoon at 3 o'clock is the blessing of the animals. So bring your dogs, cats, snakes, rabbits, and we will celebrate that service honoring St. Francis of Assisi. There are some parenting workshops coming up. Information is in the bulletin. They're especially around the topic of technology and children and technology and teenagers. So if you're interested in that, take a look and plan to come for those in early October. And finally, don't forget to mark your calendars for Sunday, October 15th, the 150th birthday party of the church. We'll have one service at 10 a.m. and then fun on the lawn in the afternoon. More details are in your bulletin, but I want to make sure everyone's got that on their calendar and you're already inviting friends and neighbors to come and celebrate what God has done and is doing in and through this congregation. This morning, we're in the book of Acts, and we're going to highlight one of the best supporting actors in the book of Acts, and that is Barnabas. So let us gather around this story and gather around the risen Christ who calls us together for worship today.
Thank you. join me in the call to worship found in your bulletin. We gather to get here today as one people. May we be overjoyed with God's abundant grace. Trusting that God's love for us is unconditional and God's mercy is everlasting, let us make our confession with the confidence of the children of God. God of all people, we confess that our hearts can be selfish, our perspectives too small. We tend to judge those who are not like us, those with a different status, those with different opinions, those with different backgrounds. We forget that all people are your beloved. Forgive us for the many ways we have failed to be a people known by love. Lead us to a grace that is given without condition. Teach us to be an accepting people who continuously welcome with love. And now, O God, we offer to you our individual confessions in silence. Hear the good news. Christ died for us while we were yet sinners, and that proves God's love toward us. In the name of Jesus Christ, you are forgiven. Glory to God. Amen. As a forgiven and reconciled people, let us exchange signs of reconciliation and love. The peace of Christ be with you.
Thank you. Let us join together in the prayer for illumination. Lord, open our hearts and minds by the power of your Holy Spirit, that as the scriptures are read and the word proclaimed, we may hear with joy what you say to us today. Amen. Today's lesson is from the book of Acts. Now those who were scattered because of the persecution that took place over Stephen traveled as far as Phoenicia, Cyprus, and Antioch. And they spoke the word to no one except the Jews. But among them were some men of Cyprus and Cyrene, who on coming to Antioch spoke to the Hellenists, proclaiming the Lord Jesus. The hand of the Lord was with them, and a great number became believers and turned to the Lord. News of this came to the ears of the church in Jerusalem, and they sent Barnabas to Antioch. When he came and saw the grace of God, he rejoiced, and he exhorted them all to remain faithful to the Lord with steadfast devotion. For he was a good man, full of the Holy Spirit and of faith, and a great many people were brought to the Lord. Then Barnabas went to Tarsus to look for Saul, and when he found him, he brought him to Antioch. So it was for an entire year that they associated with the church and taught a great many people. And it was in Antioch that the disciples were first called Christians. Now in the church at Antioch, there were prophets and teachers: Barnabas, Simeon, who was also called Niger, Lucius of Cyrene, Manaen, a member of the court of Herod the ruler, and Saul. While they were worshiping the Lord and fasting, the Holy Spirit said, "Set apart for me Barnabas and Saul for the work to which I have called them." Then after fasting and praying, they laid their hands on them and sent them off. The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
Thank you.
allow the grown-ups to have a seat. And if there are any children who want to come up and join me for a few minutes, something fun to show you. And if you're worshiping from home, just move a little closer to your screens, and we'll have a minute together. Good morning. The choir sounded amazing. I loved the words of that song, too. Good morning. Good to see you. Oh, a hug. It's my second hug in 10 minutes. Makes me so happy. Okay, anybody know what these are?
Pom-poms.
Pom-poms, that's right. And why do we shake pom-poms?
To cheer.
To cheer people on. To say, yay, go team. Or go person who's making the race. Or War Eagle. The Baxters lent me their pom-poms, and they are Auburn pom-poms. Sorry to any Alabama fans or others. I am non-denominational when it comes to SEC football. So, Mr. Frank just read a story in the Bible about a man named Barnabas. He was a follower of Jesus, but you know, he's not very famous. A lot of people don't know about Barnabas, but one of the things that Barnabas was really good at was cheering for other people, for encouraging other people to do their best and to help other people. His name means encouragement. You know what that means? To help someone feel better, feel stronger. So that was his ministry. And one of the things I love about Barnabas is that he didn't have a big ego. It wasn't important to him that he be the star of the show. What was important to him was that people learned about Jesus and how much God loved them. And if that meant just standing and cheering other people on, that's what he felt called to do. So I want you to think about some way this week that you can encourage somebody. If you see somebody who's having a hard time, maybe doing their homework, or someone who's kind of sad, maybe you can come alongside and make them feel better, or maybe you can give them a hug and make them happy. And also, if there's someone who makes you feel better and encourages you, make sure and say thank you, because that's part of God's work. Let's pray together. Gracious God, we thank you for those people in our lives who encourage us, who say kind things, who help us feel like we can do what you call us to do. Help us also to be encouragers, to be cheerleaders, to be those who help other people know how much you love them and to cheer them on. We pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, 3, 4, and 5-year-olds can go to children's church. And if you're older than that, you can go back and sit with parents or friends. And I am not doing a herky. You cannot pay me these days. I have another hug. Oh, thank you so much. I feel so encouraged. Shannon, don't let me leave these in the pulpit. Y'all need those for the next game. Hope they serve you better than they did yesterday. Oh, sorry. Sorry. That wasn't very encouraging, was it? War Eagle. Sorry. Anyway. Many of you had the opportunity to get to know our older son, Tate. He's now a senior in college, but we moved here to West End when he was a sophomore in high school. And Tate was very involved in the youth group, both at our former church, Christ United Methodist, and then once he came to West End. And there were several ministries that he got to be part of in those youth groups that were really transformative for him. One of them here at West End was Wilderness Trail. So if you get into the youth group and you're thinking about whether to do Wilderness Trail, I would encourage you to do that. It really helped deepen his faith, and it was a wonderful experience for him. Another experience he had was at our previous church, Christ United Methodist. And our youth group there would go every other year to a place called Camp Barnabas. Have any of you ever heard of Camp Barnabas? It is a summer camp in Missouri that is designed for children and young adults with special needs. And they have different weeks of the year. They might have a week for children and young adults who are on the autism spectrum or those who have sight impairment. But several of the weeks are just a variety of kids and a variety of special needs. And our youth would go to this camp, and those who were 16 and older would be paired with a camper, with one particular camper for the whole week. And it was the youth's job, 23 out of 24 hours every day, to make sure that camper had a great experience at camp. So Tate's first year, he was paired with a young man named Matt. Matt was in a wheelchair. He was nonverbal. He was incredibly intelligent, had a great sense of humor, which was perfect for Tate. And they could communicate with informal sign language and gestures and sounds. And one of my favorite pictures that came out of that week was from the first day. The camp does a great job of sending photos out to the parents of volunteers and the parents of the campers so you can see what's happening. And so we got pictures from this first day. And the way they do it there, as the campers arrive, all of the volunteers are lined up along the walkway, just cheering them on and calling their names. And when your particular camper arrives, you're the head cheerleader, and you go up and you greet them. And so there's a picture of Matt arriving and Tate standing right beside him going, "Yeah!" And if you know Tate, that's typical. That's his level of enthusiasm. But it warmed my heart to see that kind of joy in my son's face in being able to be part of this ministry. When he came home and I went to pick him up in the parking lot, he got off the bus and he came and he hugged my neck really tightly. And he said, "That was the best week of my life." It was probably the hardest week of his life up to that point. It was physically and mentally exhausting. There were times in the middle of the night in their dorm when one of the children would have trouble, either physically or emotionally, and all the counselors worked together to help and to be supportive. So he lost a lot of sleep. 23 out of 24 hours a day, he's being there for Matt. But he said there was something about getting totally out of himself and just being present for the sake of someone else. Just having the purpose of making sure Matt had a great experience at camp was the best experience of his life up to that point. I didn't think about it at the time, but the name of the camp is just perfect. As we read through the book of Acts, there are a lot of starring roles. We have Peter and James and John and James, the brother of Jesus, Philip, all of these early apostles who begin to spread the word of Jesus. And then we have Barnabas. Barnabas, who gets the spotlight for a minute, but very quickly falls into the supporting actor role. And then about halfway through the book of Acts, doesn't appear anymore. But this morning, I wanted to highlight and lift up the ministry of Barnabas. It is the ministry of encouragement. And to wonder, you know, would we have the church we have today if it weren't for Barnabas and encouragers like him? So in case you've never read the book of Acts and you don't know who Barnabas is, or maybe you have read the book of Acts and you just sort of missed out on, wait, Barnabas? He's only mentioned a few times. Allow me to tell his story a little bit. The first time he appears in the book of Acts is in chapter 4. What we learn about him is that he is a Jew from the island of Cyprus. He's from the priestly family, the Levite family. And his name is Joseph. But somewhere along the way, he comes to Jerusalem and he becomes a follower of Jesus. And in the early days of the church, it was the practice of that first church in Jerusalem for all of the people joining the church to pool all of their resources together. They shared all of their money and redistributed it so there were no people in need in their midst. Pretty radical model of being church. And so Joseph, as he was named, sold a field, took the proceeds, and brought them to the apostles' feet. He was ready to give up all of his possessions to be part of this Jesus movement. It's there that we learn the apostles named him Barnabas, a name that means son of encouragement. Literally, it's a word that means one who comes alongside and gives courage, encouragement to others. He must have early on earned a reputation as an encourager, as a supporter, as a cheerleader for others in the faith. So a few chapters pass, and we don't hear much about Barnabas. But then the main character of the show shows up, and his name is Saul, later becomes known as Paul. Now, if you know Saul's story, he was a Pharisee, highly educated, a Roman citizen, and an enemy of the church. In the early days of the Church of Jerusalem, it was Paul's mission in life to crush it. He's described as taking Christians, men and women, and dragging them into prison. So the church is very afraid of Saul. But as you may know the story, he's walking down the road to Damascus one day when he has a vision of the risen Christ. His heart is changed, he is converted, and he becomes a follower of Jesus. And he spends his time in Damascus beginning to preach and teach about how Jesus really is the Son of God. The day comes when it's time for him to go to Jerusalem and meet the leaders of the Jesus movement in Jerusalem. And they're not interested. They are terribly afraid of Saul. They don't trust that he's changed. You can't blame them. This is someone who has been on a mission to destroy their movement, who has dragged friends and family into prison. And so they don't want him in their midst, afraid that once he got there, he would bring in the police and start dragging people off. So they do not admit him into their presence until Barnabas. Barnabas takes Saul in. And he listens to Saul's story and to Saul's experience, and he sees how the Holy Spirit has changed Paul and is at work in Paul's life. He sees the spiritual gifts that Paul has, and he encourages him, and he brings him into the presence of the Jerusalem leaders and vouches for Saul. He tells them Saul's experience and Saul's story, and so they give their blessing for Saul to become one of them. Saul goes back to Tarsus, where he's from. And over time, Barnabas is sent to a place called Antioch. That's part of the story that Frank read for us this morning. There's been a movement. The Holy Spirit is moving in Antioch, and there are Jews and Gentiles who are now believing in Jesus, and they're building the church. And so the folks in Jerusalem say, Barnabas, go check it out. Make sure it's legit. Make sure it really is the movement of the Holy Spirit, and send word back to us. So Barnabas goes, and he sees what the Holy Spirit is doing, and what does he do? He encourages them. He comes alongside them and teaches them and exhorts them and guides them and cheers them on. Look what God is doing among you. And then he realizes that there's another set of gifts that is needed in this moment, that he needs help. That he needs Saul. And so he travels all the way to Tarsus and gets Saul and brings him back to Antioch. And the two of them lead and teach and guide that congregation for over a year. And then the second part of what we heard this morning, the leaders of that church are gathered in prayer and fasting, and they hear from the Holy Spirit that now Barnabas and Saul are being called somewhere else. Send them out to the place where the Spirit will take them, is what they hear the Spirit say. And so they anoint them and send them on their way. Barnabas and Saul. But it doesn't take long, just a few verses, before Barnabas and Saul become Paul and Barnabas. Paul is his Greek name. And Paul begins to take the senior role. He begins to be the one who really is the leader of this spread of the gospel to new places. And Barnabas is now part of the team, but he's not in the spotlight. He's now in the supporting role. And there's something that says to me Barnabas was okay with that. I think Barnabas recognizes the gifts that Paul had and the gifts that he has. And that this is right and good. There's nothing about Barnabas anywhere in the scriptures to indicate he had any ego at all, but that his primary purpose was the spread of God's love and grace through the gospel of Jesus Christ, and he wanted to be part of it in whatever way the Spirit wanted to use him. Now, as the book of Acts goes on, Paul rises in prominence, and then we have so many letters in the New Testament that are the voice of Paul, and Barnabas begins to fade into the background. But Barnabas was not weak. He was not a doormat. There is a moment in the 15th chapter of Acts when he stands up to Paul. You see, as they had traveled together, they had had another young man with them, John Mark, who may have been Barnabas's cousin. But at some point in their travels, John Mark left to go back home. We don't know why. Maybe he got tired. Maybe he got homesick. Who knows? But he left the mission. And as they get ready to set off on a third journey, Barnabas wants to take John Mark, and Paul says, no, he's a quitter. I'm not taking him. It doesn't say quitter in the Bible, but basically, I don't want someone who's left the mission. Barnabas insists on John Mark's being with them. Barnabas is willing, I think, to give John Mark another chance, to forgive him for abandoning them before. But Paul is not interested in doing that. And so Paul now becomes Paul and Silas, and Barnabas goes with John Mark, and they go in different directions. But you know, they don't leave each other with a curse. I think they part ways with the blessing, because we have evidence in some of Paul's letters later that he commends Barnabas and John Mark to the Colossians, for example. That they continued to love and support each other in their work, but they needed to go in different directions. Perhaps there are lessons we could learn from that. But there are definitely lessons we can learn from the ministry of Barnabas. Just a couple of quick things. One is, I want to invite you in this moment to think about someone in your life who, for a season of your life, was Barnabas for you, who came alongside you and recognized the gifts of God in you, who cheered you on and said, you can do this, or I see God's gifts in you. Keep up the good work. If that person is still in your life, take some time this week and write them a note and thank them. If they're no longer walking this earth, maybe write a note to their family or a mutual friend, just to tell the story of how they were an encourager for you. And then another invitation, to look for opportunities to be a Barnabas for someone else. Not just saying a kind word to the cashier at the grocery store, although that's very important, but for an opportunity to come alongside someone as a mentor, as a cheerleader, as a friend, to walk with them for a while and encourage them in their walk. For their sake, and for the sake of the work that God is doing through them, not for any glory or recognition of our own. I was so astounded when I heard my son say it was the best week of his life. But then I think about what Jesus said. Those who lose their life for my sake and for the sake of the gospel, we'll find it. Perhaps the ministry of encouragement, the ministry of Barnabas, is the key to abundant life. Amen.
As we respond to the word, I invite you to stand either in spirit or in presence as we recite together the affirmation as found in your bulletin. We are not alone. We live in God's world. We believe in God, who has created and is creating, who has come in Jesus, the Word made flesh, to reconcile and make new, who works in us and others by the Spirit. We trust in God. We are called to be the church, to celebrate God's presence, to love and serve others, to seek justice and resist evil, to proclaim Jesus crucified and risen, our judge and our hope. In life, in death, in life beyond death, God is with us. We are not alone. Thanks be to God. Amen. Please be seated. As we come to our time of prayer, I invite you to lift up both your silent and spoken prayers. If you'd like to share them with the pastoral team to be prayed for throughout the week, we encourage you to either fill out a gray pew card, or if you go on our website and click on the Contact Us spot, you'll find a way to leave a prayer request. I want to point your attention to the prayer list in the bulletin today. Please keep these names and situations in your heart throughout the week, praying for the realization of God's presence in each situation. I want to extend our sympathies to the family of Richard Stewart and Mildred Tilly in the death of Richard's mother, Mary Ellen Stewart, who passed away in Atlanta, Georgia, at the age of 92. And we also want to recognize the flower on the table as we celebrate the birth of Leela Maeve Adams, who was born on September 7th, to Blake Adams and Jessica Lawson Adams. She is also welcomed by her siblings, Jolene and Archie Adams. The Lord be with you. Let us pray. Search me, O God, and know my heart. Test me and know my thoughts. Lord, today we acknowledge your greatness. Even before we were a glimmer in our parents' eyes, you knew us, our strengths, our weaknesses, the things that would get us out of bed each day and the things that would threaten to keep us stagnant. For this, Lord, we stand in awe of you, in awe of the grace with which you deal with us and the love that pours over us unconditionally. Lord, today we come with thanks in our hearts. Thanks for who you are and all you have done. We give thanks that you have called us to be a part of fulfilling your mission of restoring our world and of restoring lives. You have shown us how to live each day with you and others at the forefront of our hearts and minds. And today we draw strength from gathering together and remembering those truths. Lord, may we be stronger as we leave this place. Strength that is found in purpose. Strength that is found when our hearts are filled with your love. Strength that gives itself away in order to be filled. And as we thank you today, we offer ourselves to you. All of the parts of our lives that keep us awake at night, as well as those things that help us sleep soundly. We trust you today, Lord, as we open our hearts to you and share those. Lord, you call us to trust. And we thank you that you have proven throughout our lives that that trust is good. And so it is with that trust, Lord, that we now pray in unity the words you taught us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. And forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. Today we have a special opportunity to hear about ministry that we as a congregation can continue to support. Please welcome Reverend Amy Baxter and Tatum Earp as they share with us about local campus ministry.
Good morning. It's so good to be here today, and I'm so grateful to stand before you as your pastor of young adults and also as the campus minister at Vandy Wesley. Those pom-poms are mine and Shannon's. We met through Auburn Wesley Foundation in college, and so campus ministry has been a really big part of our lives, not only in the relationships that we gained through that, but also for both of us in realizing our calling. And so we just are so grateful that one of the models that we fell into many, many years ago as students is happening in our campus ministries in town and at Vandy Wesley. I'm here joined with Tatum Earp. Tatum is our co-chair of the Vandy Wesley Foundation. She's also a part of West End, as you can see. She blesses you with her beautiful voice at 11 o'clock and other ways too. So we'll let Tatum talk to you a little bit about Vandy Wesley.
Hi, my name is Tatum. I'm a senior at Vanderbilt. I joined Vandy Wesley my sophomore year. It's been a really special space for me. And for all the students who are part of it. I think that a lot of the religious spaces on college campuses can tend to be very prescriptive and like to-do lists to check off in order to be a part of a faith. And Vandy Wesley is absolutely not like that. It is a space of rest and comfort and a space where students can explore their faith. And it really has changed my life, so.
And part of that life-changing ministry is your support for Vandy Wesley, not only with your presence across the street from Vanderbilt and your prayers for us and your support for us, but also through financial giving. This month's communion offering is for campus ministries. So just to let you know, those offerings go to Vanderbilt, but also to Fisk, TSU, and Belmont, which is represented in this space too. If you look around, you'll see some of our students in the crowd today. And if you want to give, you can mark a check in the memo line, and you can put communion offering or campus ministries. Make that out to West End. There's also a way to do that online in our designated giving. You can do the same thing and then make those distinctions on your check. Again, we're so grateful for your support and so thankful for this time to come and share a little bit about what we do.
Let us now gather together our gifts and offer them to God in gratitude and praise. Those of you joining us online are invited to give via the options listed on the screen while here in the sanctuary. We'll pass plates down the row. May we give with the joy to God who has been so generous with us. Today I'm excited that we have a number of people who've decided to make West End their home today. And so I want to encourage them to come forward. Come on. This morning we had a beautiful baptism, and that is one of the wonderful parts of seeing our church family grow, as well as we started our newest session of our membership class this morning, where we had 15 people join that class and will walk with us for the next 4 weeks before they too become members of our church. I want to introduce you to our wonderful new people who are deciding to make West End their home. Kathy Osten is a retired cardiac care nurse manager who worked at St. Thomas West for over 40 years. Her hobbies include travel, photography, boating, and has been a neighbor of Carol's parents for a number of years. And Sharon Shields is a senior associate dean of community and special projects at Peabody College at Vanderbilt University, where she has served since 1974. She enjoys time at her lake house on Kentucky Lake and takes part in photography and other opportunities to travel. Brandy Bivens comes to us from another local United Methodist congregation. She works in communications at the General Board of Finance and Administration for the United Methodist Church. She loves to hike, read, garden, and cook. And we have Trey and McLean Ziegler, who are transferring their membership from a church in New York City. Trey is a stay-at-home dad, and McLean is a realtor with Crescent Homes. One of McLean's hobbies is singing as a soprano in the Nashville Symphony Chorus. We are thankful for all the ways that God has made this community your home, and pray that God's light shines through you in powerful ways. I have a couple of questions to ask, and this first question is for you, Sharon, Kathy, Trey, and McLean. As members of Christ's Universal Church, will you be loyal to Christ through the United Methodist Church and do all in your power to strengthen its ministries? If so, say, I will. And to all of you, as members of the body of Christ in this congregation, called to be the loving light of Christ in the world, will you faithfully serve Christ in this place through your prayers, your presence, your gifts, your service, and your witness? If so, say, I will. Please rise in body or in spirit and join me in welcoming our newest members by what's printed in your bulletin. Family of God, Sharon, Kathy, Brandy, Trey, and McLean are now entrusted to your love and care. Do all in your power to increase their faith, confirm their hope, and perfect them in love. I want to invite each of you to join me and our newest members out this door in Reed Hall. I want to invite you to come and meet them and greet them and welcome them into our family. And now may the God of all grace strengthen you by the connecting and transforming power of the Holy Spirit, that together we may be the loving light of Christ in the world. Amen.
Thank you.
we prepare to go back out into the world, I pray that we have all been encouraged by our time together, by the Word of God, by the prayers and the fellowship. May we go forth from this place to be encouragers, to be Barnabas for those who need it. Go in peace, in Christ's name. Amen.